Interesting how this is all tying together, because we're going to be talking about prayer. We would be a strange church if we didn't spend a significant amount of time praying. I know we've perhaps been doing more than usual in recent months, and you will have seen my email or letter asking specifically for urgent prayer about the building project. If you haven't seen that, then if you're a regular part of the family here, then see me or grab a copy of the letter afterwards. But I thought in the light of that, we might take another look at prayer today, because let's face it, prayer can be quite confusing, to say the least. And I'm going to begin with not just one, not even just two, but four readings from the Bible. Don't worry, they're reasonably short. Feel free to turn to them if you'd like, I'll not insist on it this week. But all of these reveal different aspects of prayer. Let's start in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18 from verse 1. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they would should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice, because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly." There's one thing about prayer. Then turn to John 14, and I'm reading from verse 12. And this is Jesus speaking again. He says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." It's an astonishing promise. Now let's switch to the Old Testament. This is from Exodus 16. Exodus 16, and I'm jumping about slightly here. The whole community of Israel, who've been wandering around in the desert, the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. "If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt," they moaned. "There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we want. But now you've brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. I have heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them, in the evening you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." We don't think of complaining as a good way to pray, but here we are. That's exactly what the Israelites had been doing. One more, finally, back to the New Testament, with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night before his arrest. This is from Matthew 26. Jesus bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour?" Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." for very different situations, all dealing with coming to God with our needs and requests, but in very different ways and very different outcomes. I think we'd better pray for ourselves now before we go any further, don't you? Father, this is something that's supposed to be so basic to us, and yet it is really hard to understand. What is prayer about? How do we do this? Father, as we look at this topic, this huge topic now, please reveal something new to us. Help us to understand. Refresh our vision of the importance of this. Meet with us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. A woman was at work when she received a phone call telling her that her daughter was ill. So she left work and went to the chemist to buy some flu medicine. Unfortunately, having done so, she returned to discover that she'd locked her keys in the car. She looked around and found a rusty old coat hanger lying in the street, but she didn't know how to use it. So she bowed her head and she prayed for help. Within seconds, a scruffy man appeared. She was so desperate, she told him her plight and asked him, "Do you know how to break into a car with one of these?" "Sure," said the man, and within a minute had opened the car door. And the woman hugged him and thanked him profusely. "Thank you so much," she said. "You are a very nice man." The man replied, "Lady, I'm not a nice man. I just got out of prison today. I was in prison for car theft. I've only been out for 1 hour." "Thank you, Lord," shouted the woman, "for sending me a professional." I wonder what you think about prayer. People have some very different views about it. Here are just some of them. Let's have a look.
Do you pray?
Yep. Every day.
Sometimes.
No, I don't.
I pray every day.
No, I don't.
Of course.
Yeah, but only when you want something really, really badly.
Not often, but I'd say a relevant amount, you know, when you need to.
I do when something's really bad is happening. I think it can work.
Yeah, I think it's quite important, like, personally. It's a very personal thing, but to be honest, I don't pray a lot. But when it comes to serious things, I probably would.
I think only the really, really religious people pray every day.
I don't do it religiously. I do it for my own games.
Do you believe prayer works?
I believe prayer does work. It's a form of communication between yourself and God, and it's very much enhances your spiritual and moral sense of being.
I believe prayer works. I certainly do, yes, because it helps me a lot.
Not really, no.
It's not so much you're talking to God, but you're talking to yourself about what you want to do and like what you think should be the right thing to do.
Sometimes, yeah. Not all the time.
I'm sure it does. Occasionally it works for me.
Yeah, I think it's one of them things, what's a healer really to everyone.
Yeah, even if you're not speaking to anyone, at least you're getting your thoughts out into your own head, at least you're debating inside what you think is going on, what you think you've done wrong, what you think you've done right, and even if you don't believe no one's listening, like upstairs, then at least you're getting your thoughts out in the open, and you're realising what you need to do, or what you've done wrong, or what you've perhaps done right.
Like self-confession, basically. It's something that you've got to get off your chest, and you think talking it out loud and praying for it is the right thing to do.
It's a private communication, form of communication between yourself and God. So if you are religious, you do believe it works.
Prayer is a really strange thing. Only a minority of people in the UK would describe themselves as religious, and certainly the number of people actually practicing their faith is even smaller. And yet at moments of crisis, almost everyone prays. Let me tell you a true story that happened some years ago on an aeroplane headed for New York. A routine and normally very dull flight, but this time it proved to be otherwise. As they were on their descent pattern coming into land, the pilot realized that the landing gear wasn't engaging, it wasn't coming down properly. And he messed around with the controls, trying again and again to get the gear to lock into place without success. And so he asked ground control for instruction. And as the plane circled the airport, the emergency crews coated the runway with foam. The airport fire engines coated the runway with foam. Other emergency vehicles moved into position. Meanwhile, the passengers were being told what was going on in that very calm, unemotional voice that pilots do so well. Flight attendants glided around the cabin with an air of cool reserve. Passengers were told to place their heads between their knees, grab their ankles just before impact. There were tears, a few cries of despair. It was one of those, I can't believe that this is happening to me moments. And then with the landing only minutes away, the pilot suddenly announced over the intercom, "We're beginning our final descent. At this moment, in accordance with international aviation codes established at Geneva, it is my obligation to inform you that if you believe in God, you should commence prayer." That's exactly what he said. Now, the pilot actually managed to do a textbook emergency landing. The plane was badly damaged, but no one was injured. What I find so interesting about that event was that the only thing that brought out into the open a deep-down secret rule was a crisis. Pushed to the brink, back to the wall, right up against the wire, all escape routes closed. Only then does our society crack open a hint of recognition that God may be there. And if you believe, you should commence prayer. The instinct to pray seems to be something deeply embedded in us in times like that. But what's it all about? Does it work? And if so, how does it work? We have some friends back in Tillicoultry who some years ago were expecting a new grandchild. But as the pregnancy progressed and the usual scans and tests were done, it was clear that there were some serious complications. The doctors weren't at all confident that the child would be born alive. We were all praying about this with our friends. And it turned out that all kinds of people were praying for this child. The baby was born. It was a boy, and they called him Luke. And then 2 months later, he died. But then I could tell you about a friend from another church who developed MS, multiple sclerosis. Now, there is no cure for MS, as you may know. It is an irreversible disease. But she started praying, and her family started praying, and the church all started praying. And then a while later, she went in for another round of tests. And after that round of tests, the doctor said, "Look, I really can't explain this. I mean, I'm a specialist in MS. I don't know what else to say, but I cannot find anything wrong with you. You're healed." What do you do with that? I mean, does God answer prayers? Does he answer some but not all? Or sometimes but not all the times? Or does God always answer prayers but sometimes just God says no? And then sometimes people say, "Well, we prayed and God showed up and did a miracle." Well, then where was God the rest of the time? Was God somewhere else doing something else? And then apparently decided to show up here and do something? No wonder prayer gets confusing. And other people say, "Well, you just have to understand that God is going to do what God is going to do." Well, then why pray? And other people say, "Well, you don't understand. God can do anything." Well, okay, so why doesn't he? this is difficult. In the accounts of Jesus' life in the Bible, there are lots of passages about prayer. We read some of them earlier, but there are so many more, either when he's teaching about prayer or when he does it himself. And I think one of the most moving and revealing passages is that last one that I read that says that on the night that he was betrayed, he was in the garden with his disciples praying. And it's in the hours leading up to his arrest, and then he's going to be tried as a criminal, and then he's going to be tortured and executed, and he's feeling the full weight of what's about to happen to him, because he knew it was headed this way. So he's enduring the terror of the coming hours and of his imminent death. And he begins to pray, and he says, "Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." He likens his death to a cup that he doesn't want to drink. I mean, who would? Who would? And then he prays a little while later, "If it's not possible for this cup to be taken from me, then may it be done according to your will." So the first prayer, he's essentially saying, is there some way out of this? I really don't want to go through this. Is there some other plan here? And the second prayer is more like, if this is going to happen, if there's nothing I can do to stop it, then I'm up for whatever you have in mind. Now, if we're going to try to work out what prayer is about, I believe Jesus is a pretty good place to start. And I think there are some really interesting things that we can learn about prayer from what Jesus does here. The first is that for Jesus, prayer wasn't about pressing the buttons on some galactic vending machine that gives you whatever you ask for. And nor was it a passive acceptance of, well, I guess this is just how it's going to be. For Jesus, prayer was being open to the God who is at work here and now. But to be open to the creative working of God in the world here and now, you have to be honest. So when Jesus is saying things like, "Is there any way for this cup to be taken from me so I don't have to drink it?" He's being brutally honest with God. "God, I really don't want to go through this," he's saying. Like it says in Psalms, in Psalm 13, where the writer says, "God, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" And Jesus came from a long tradition of people who saw prayer as brutal honesty with God. If you read through the book of Psalms, it is full of people grieving and outpouring their anguish in terms of great suffering and torment. People shaking their fist at God, challenging God, doubting God, wrestling with God, questioning God. God can handle what you are thinking. God can handle how you are feeling. God can handle what you're saying. So prayer, if it's anything, it is truth. It's being honest with your Maker. But the second point is that for Jesus, it wasn't just honesty that's going on in the garden when he's praying to his Father. Jesus' questions assume that he is going to be involved in some way in the answer. Jesus' assumption is that there is some role for him to play in this ongoing work of God in the world. Some people pray and they say, "Well, God just didn't answer my prayer." But maybe they were the answer to their prayer, or at least part of the answer to their prayer. That's not always the case. Sometimes God just does miraculous things on his own. But sometimes we have a role. Don't ask God to feed someone who is hungry if you have plenty of food. Someone who believes that the God who created the universe is at work here and now and someone who is open to that, someone who's aware, who's watching, who's listening, someone who's looking for their role to play in the ongoing creation of the world, that's going to be a powerful element in prayer. And the final thing, and I've said this before, the final thing is that if prayer is about honesty with God, and if it involves the possibility of a two-way interaction, of me getting involved too in what I'm praying about, then the fundamental basis for all of this must be a relationship. All this only makes sense if prayer is about your whole relationship with God and with the world around you. That's what it was for Jesus. His prayers revealed an intimate relationship with his Father, a relationship that he invites us to have too. So when people ask all sorts of questions about why didn't God do this? Why did God do that? Why did God show up then? Why did God make a miracle happen there? Why did God say yes to that prayer and no to that prayer? I don't know. Talking to people who've been watching their little grandchild fighting for his life, I don't know why some situations go one way and some go the other. But I do know that you and I can bring those situations to a God who cares, who knows about those situations, but who wants us to share them with him as part of a real relationship. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that so often we do just treat prayer as a wish list, as throwing coins into a cosmic sweetie machine. We are sorry for that, because we're talking to our Father, our Creator. And you long for us to bring everything that is going on to you. Father, help us to trust not only that you want to hear and that you do hear, but that your ways are above our ways. Help us to pray consistently, even when the answer we get is maybe not what we are looking for. But thank you, Lord, too, that sometimes it is, and that always, ultimately, you are a faithful God, a God in whom we can trust and rely with our whole lives. Amen.